One, two. I love the book of Daniel. Amen.
Amen.
Been good. I like to keep it going. Well, I know I got to do some preaching here. We've had services where the Lord just took over completely. And we've I've enjoyed it. I like it when that happens. Now, I don't know where I did my glasses now. Josh, if you can help me find them. Daniel chapter 5. I know I had them. Oh, there they are. Thank you. Thank you. Daniel chapter 5. Y'all have heard of the wedding crashers, you know. You've heard all that. And God crashes parties too. And I like it when the Lord crashes a party. And in the Bible, the Lord crashes a couple parties, but every time I've found parties going on in the Bible, dancing, drinking, carrying on, it's always somebody dies or something happens bad. And after I got saved, I quit going to parties.
Amen.
I quit going to these, so-called even office parties, all that kind of stuff. I worked for a roofing company, and they invited me to this over in Washington, D.C. They said, why don't you come to our Christmas party? I said, I don't come to parties. And they said, well, why not? I said, because it's drinking, carrying on, all that stuff. And the guy and the owner said, well, I'll tell you what, we'll have a breakfast rather than luncheon. And Samson, all of them, was working with me at the time. And I drove over to Washington, D.C., and he said, we'll have a party. Will you come to that? I said, I'll come to our breakfast thing, as long as the guys ain't drinking and carrying on. And when I walked in, the men were mad because they knew he had changed all the things, no drinking, no drugs, none of that stuff. But I'm sure the guys were drinking out in the truck and carrying on, coming back in there. But when I walked in, me and the boys walked in. When we walked in, they all started singing, we shall gather at the river, the beautiful. And I said, carry on, man, come on. And I said, I'll be preaching after you finish singing. And the boss, you know, they didn't know what to do. But the guys were mocking. They were mocking. And we just didn't get mad. We just rejoiced. But my wife and I, we quit going to parties and dancing and all that stuff after we got saved.
Amen.
We just quit doing that stuff. And the reason why, when we read the Bible, always in every party in the Bible ends up in a disaster. You find John the Baptist getting his head cut off over there in the book of John and Luke. You find John the Baptist losing his head because of Herodias' daughter dancing and lewdly dancing in front of her stepfather and got him all worked up. And he said, I'll give you anything you want to have the kingdom, as long as he could have her. And she goes back and she said, Mama, what should I ask for? And Mama hated John the Baptist, the preacher, and she hated him because he preached against sin.
Right.
He preached against Herod having his brother's wife.
Yeah.
And she hated his guts. And she said, ask him for the head of John the Baptist. And the Bible says he was very discouraged or disheartened over the thing, but for all the presidents and all the people that were with him, he did it for their sake and because he didn't want to look like less than a man. And so John the Baptist lost his head at a party. And it wasn't that he lost his head, but they took his head. And a Baptist preacher died because in a party. Lynn and I, after I got saved, my brother would try to get us to go parties, go dance. Her and I danced together and stuff, and we would dance and carry on. But we went to the party. My brother finally talked to us in. We went to the party, and we got down. We couldn't do it. We just got on the dance floor. We couldn't do it. We got out there. We just couldn't do it. And we said, man, we ain't going to do this. So I told my brother we're leaving because we can't do it no more. And we got sold out, put it that way.
Amen.
We just got sold out. We just didn't want to go with that stuff no more. And you said, why are you saying this? Because it's going to come up. It's going to be Halloween. You got Halloween coming up. You're going to have Christmas parties. You're going to have all that stuff you're invited to. And every time there's a party, there's young girls lose their virginity. Every time at the colleges, they have big parties and all that stuff. And the girls go in these frat houses and the guys get them drinking. And the guys, let me tell you something, young girls, what they'll do is say, come on, you ain't afraid of a little drink. And they'll put a little something in your drink to get you where you're passed out. And you just had a boy on the news. He raped a girl while she was passed out. And that happens day in and day out. In colleges all across this land, all across the world, get girls getting raped and being abused because of the parties goes on. And she goes to a party, well, I won't drink anything. I'll just drink water. No, they'll find a way to seduce you and cause you to get messed up. That's why I'm preaching this thing this morning, because I don't want to see none of our girls end up in that kind of a mess.
Yeah.
I don't want to see none of our kids end up in a mess in a party, messing around and getting pregnant and having this load they're carrying all the rest of their life because of somebody abused them at a party. But here's the party that God messed them up. And I would say God is a party crasher. And all the way through the Bible, like I said, we'll go back to some other parties in the Bible. But here, this thing here happens. This is a grandson of Nebuchadnezzar. And this grandson, I preached that three chairs only take three generations to get away from God. But this is a grandson that cared less about anything holy, anything spiritual, anything. He cared less about it. And he throws a big party. And Daniel is at this time probably about 70 years old. Daniel is about 70 years old about this time. And Daniel's already seen everything. He's been promoted. And Daniel could care less what this king offered him. And let's read on, chapter 5, verse 1. Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords. Now, you're talking about all the big shots, all the big shots. You know why people like to go to parties? Because they think they can rub shoulders with the big shots. They want to get somebody drunk and have them promise them something and all that kind of mess. They want to rub shoulders with them. I could care less about rubbing shoulders with any of them. Makes no difference. You say, well, like Josh was saying a little while ago, he finally came to his senses. And what happens is you'll come to your senses once you realize that this world is not my home and your home. If you're saved, you'll realize what God really thinks. You need to find out what God thinks about something and get on board with God rather than being on board with the world. You need to find out what he thinks and then go along with him rather than being against him and against the world rather than against the Lord. And Belshazzar the king made a great feast to 1,000 of his lords and drank wine before the thousands. And Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring in the golden and silver vessels which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple which was in Jerusalem. He knew about what his father had done. And I mean, if he'd been around as a grandson, he knew how his father ended up in a mess and turning into a bird and running around, and then he knew about when his grandfather humbled himself before God. But this guy, he just didn't care. Why? It didn't cost him nothing. He got the kingdom without any cost because he was the grandson of Nebuchadnezzar, and he comes in, he could care less about anything holy, like a lot of young people today. They don't care about anything holy, anything right. They don't care less, as long as they can have fun. As long as it benefits me, as long as it makes me feel good, I don't care what anybody says. I'm going to do what I want to do whenever I want to do it, and I don't care what anybody says. But one day, the party's going to be over, baby.
Yeah, amen. Yeah.
One day, it's going to come to an end, and God's going to crash your party.
Yeah.
God will crash your little party, amen. I've seen the Lord crash many a parties, brother. I tell you what, we had young people in this church that got out, went to parties and everything. We've sent guys to the party and went over there and tried to get them out. I've been to bars and trying to get Christians out of bars. I've been to all kinds of places because why? They end up going back to the party thinking they were having a good time. And I'm going to tell you something, the party's going to end one day.
Yeah.
This world is having a big party right now. But one day, the party's going to end, brother. I tell you what, sister, the party's going to end. The Bible says at the end of the thing, the Bible says they're going to be crying out to the mountains to fall on them because they don't want to see him whom they have to deal with. That's the Lord Jesus Christ. Right now, they preach in front of a bar on Saturday night. Everybody says, I'm having a party. Oh, thank you guys. Oh, man, all this stuff. And they think they're cool. They think they're tough. Then I'm telling you, one day they'll be crying like a little girl. They're asking God to have mercy on them. You say, how do you know? Because I've seen it many times. I've seen a bunch of the guys talking big and talking tough cry like little girls, man, because they think everything going good. I got everything going good. And who is God that I should bow to him? Look what the Bible says. It says, and Belshazzar, while he tasted the wine, commanded to bring in the golden and silver vessels, which his father Nebuchadnezzar had taken out of the temple, which was in Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines might drink therein. And they brought the golden vessels which they had taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. He didn't realize these gold vessels that David dedicated. and Solomon dedicated, and the kings have dedicated to, all the gold and the silver and the precious stones dedicated to God. They were in the temple dedicated to God. And here he takes it lightly and brings it in and says, hey, we're going to party, and we're going to drink wine, we're going to have dancing girls, we're going to have all this stuff, and we're going to carry on like nothing, and, you know, like we're, there's no tomorrow. And I tell you what, for him, there was no tomorrow.
Amen.
You read your Bible, it's that night that dude ended up dead. And he ended up dead. And look what the Bible says. And he says, and they brought the golden vessels that had taken out of the temple of the house of God, which was at Jerusalem. And the king and his princes and his wives and his concubines drank in them. And they drank wine and praised the God of gold. Praised the God of gold. And silver and of brass and of iron and of wood and of stone. Man, that reminds you of the judgment seat of Christ, don't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Amen.
Don't that remind you? Because the Bible says you're going to stand before God at the judgment seat of Christ, and you're going to be judged. And look at here. It says they drank wine and praised the God of gold, silver. And then in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. Woo! I can't wait to see that when I get to heaven. I can't wait to see that. You know what? That's where you say, where does that saying come from? Hey, man, I see the handwriting on the wall.
Yeah.
Come from right there.
Yep. Right.
Handwriting's on the wall, baby.
Yeah.
I can see the handwriting on your face.
Amen.
Then the same hour came forth fingers of the man's hand and wrote over against the candlesticks upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace. And the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. Now, let me show you what this king did. I mean, Elvis came into the house. Elvis was at the house. Look what the Bible says. Then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed. He said, Elvis is in the house. His loins of his joints became loose. He went, a whole lot of chicken going on. My boy he got all shook up. Oh, yeah. He got shook up. And the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers and the Chaldeans and the smoothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing, show me the interpretation thereof, shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came the king's wise men, and they could not read the writing. Nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. Why? God made it where only one man could interpret it.
Amen. Yes, sir.
God made it where nobody else could interpret it. And Daniel already interpreted to Nebuchadnezzar, his grandfather, that a dream that he had, he couldn't remember, and Daniel gave him the dream and the interpretation thereof.
Yeah.
And they said, and Daniel, like I said, at that time he was a young man, maybe teenage, up in maybe early 20s. Now he's in his 70s. He's been through three different kingdoms. And you read on, when he gets in the Medes and the Persians, they were against him. And they try to find a way to get rid of Daniel. And he got thrown in the lion's den. And they ended up in the lion's den. And Daniel came out on top. I'm going to tell you something. A Christian that's trying to do right always comes out on top.
Yeah. Amen.
Always. Always.
Yeah.
You might say, well, brother, I tell you what, I feel like I'm in a valley right now. I feel like I'm going through it. But hang on, baby. You're going to come out, and you're going to be on top.
Yeah.
You're trying to do right.
Amen. Amen.
You'll be on top. Look what the Bible says. And the Bible says, in the same hour, and verse 7, and the king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers. And then the Bible says in verse 8, then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing, nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. And then was the king Belshazzar greatly troubled. I guess he was. I mean, you see a hand come out of nowhere. A hand, and I wonder about that hand. And all of a sudden, that hand goes into the plaster and says, don't you know the party got crashed?
Yeah.
Nobody felt like drinking no more.
Man.
Nobody felt like dancing no more.
Man.
Nobody felt like being real cocky anymore.
Yeah, amen.
Why? God crashed the party.
Yeah. Amen.
My wife and I quit going to parties after we got saved. Now we go to party Christian fellowships. And we don't go to the place where they drink and carry on.
Right,
we don't do all that stuff. I don't like to be around that mess. Why? Because somebody's always drunk.
Yeah.
They always want to fight. Every time I was in, after I got saved, man, after I got saved at night, I got saved, I went back to a party. And I mean, I was saved. I knew I was saved. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't show you. I couldn't show nothing from the Bible. Couldn't even read. But I know I went back to that party that night. I was trying to make people get saved. I turned the lights on. I walked in. The lights were out. And I walked in. The party was going on. They had a little strobe light going on. Everybody's dancing around, carrying on. I came into the room. And I said, hey. I turned the lights off. I said, hey, I got saved. And everybody said, man, turn the lights off and shut the blank and all that. And I said, what? You don't talk to me like that. Man, I had a couple guys on the ground, and we were smacking the tar out of them. And I said, they're going to get saved here, right here. They're going to cry out to God. And I mean, I was going to make them get saved at the party.
Yeah. Yeah.
And every time I was at a party, man, went to a party or anything, it was always somebody drunk, always somebody in your face, always somebody trying to mess with your woman, always somebody or trying to slip off with somebody else's wife and all that stuff. And parties, God will crash.
Amen.
He'll crash it. And he's going to crash the party in America one day.
Yep.
And the Bible says, and came into the king's wise man. And then was King Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him. Your countenance get changed too, but if you see a big old hand come down. You know what I wish? I wish the Lord would have a big old hand come down and slap people upside the head. Wouldn't that be a blessing? Wouldn't that be a blessing? You'd be walking down the street and the Lord say, you stupid, hit, pop, and knock you down. I'll tell you what, it'll straighten your life out.
Yeah.
I wish he would have done that to me.
Yeah.
But he's got ways of chasing us.
Yeah.
The Lord's got ways. Yeah. And most of the time, people are too stupid to realize it was the Lord dealing with them.
Come on.
That's right.
You know, in the Bible. But wouldn't that be something if you walk down the street and the Lord all of a sudden, bam, upside your head? It could be an accident.
Yeah. Right.
Could be a flat tire.
That's right.
Could be something. Lord, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Amen.
But he loves his children.
Amen.
Then it says, now the queen, verse 10, now the queen, by reason of the words of the king and his lords, came into the banquet house. The queen wasn't even there. And the queen spake and said, O king, live forever. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee. She probably said, oh, that idiot. He's in there drinking out of the Lord's cups and all that stuff. He's an idiot. I know you women call your husband idiot under their breath. I mean, my wife does. Let not thy thoughts trouble thee, nor let thy countenance be changed. And there was a man in thy, she said, there is a man in thy kingdom. God's always got a man. I want to be that man.
Amen. Yeah. Amen.
Don't you want to be that man?
Amen.
See, when you're that man don't fellowship with the world.
That's right. Amen.
I mean, he'll witness to the world, tell the world about Jesus, but he's different.
Amen.
That man's going to be different.
Amen.
You know what the problem with most people? I'll tell you what the problem with most people. Fear of man bringeth a what?
Snare.
You fear what your boss, you fear what people think of you.
That's right.
And if you get to the place where you can divorce what people think about you, I'm talking about the world, and think more about what he thinks about you, you'll be a better man.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
Or woman. When you get to the place where you say, Lord, I care less what anybody else thinks about me. I want you to think good on me.
Amen.
This old boy, he got shook up. And there's a man in thy kingdom. And I like what Daniel does. Daniel comes in, and Daniel didn't come in and say, oh, king. I've told you stories about people offered me this and offered me that. People find out somebody's a millionaire. They want to rub shoulders with them. They want to be close to them. They want to say, that's my friend. We all, humans, you know, you like popularity. What does God think?
Amen.
There's a man in thy kingdom in whom the spirit of the holy gods in the days of thy father, light and understanding and wisdom, like the wisdom of the gods was found in him, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say. Notice how she said, the king, I say, like you're not a real king. You're not the real deal. He's the third generation. I challenge third generation Christians in here.
Amen.
I challenge you to be a man, be a woman for God. You know what your problem is? Your fear of man.
Amen.
You say, I don't fear nobody. Ain't nobody. I don't fear nobody. Ain't nobody tell me what. Yeah, you do.
That's right.
You're more fearful of what your friend think. And you'll let them die and go to hell.
That's right.
Go ahead, Bridget.
That's right.
And the Bible says, the king Nebuchadnezzar, thy father, the king, I say, thy father made master of magicians, astrologers, Chaldeans, and smoothsayers. For as much as an excellent spirit and knowledge and understanding and interpretation of dreams, showing of hard sentences and dissolving doubts were found in the same Daniel, whom the king Nebuchadnezzar named Belshazzar, now let Daniel be called, and he will show the interpretation. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel? Are you the guy? Are you the guy? Are you the guy that knows the guy? You're the guy. You're the guy. They all out in the world, they say, you're the man. Daniel's the guy. Then was Daniel brought in before the king, and the king spake and said unto Daniel, art thou that Daniel, which are of the children of thy captivity of Judah? Like I said, Daniel was a slave at one point, whom the king, my father, brought out of Jewry. I have even heard of thee, that the spirit of the gods is in thee, and that light and understanding and excellent wisdom is found in thee. What a testimony.
Amen.
Yeah.
Man, you got wisdom, knowledge. Man, we got some young men. We got some young men in this church. I think they got wisdom above their age. We got some older men. They're stupid as the day is long. But we got some young men. And it says, now the wise men and astrologers have been brought in before me, and they should read this writing and make known unto me the interpretation thereof, but they could not show the interpretation of the thing. And I heard of thee that thou canst make interpretations and dissolve doubts. Now if thou canst read the writing and make known to me the interpretation thereof, thou shalt be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about thy neck, and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Always trying to catch him. Trying to get, you know why the lottery is so growing so much?
Yeah.
It's greed.
That's right.
It's greed. People are just greedy. Greed. Man, if I could just get that money. Then Daniel answered and said before the king, let thy gifts be thyself. Let thy gifts be thyself. I don't want anything you got. Keep it. Give thy rewards to another. Give it to somebody else. And make known to, he says, yet I will read the writing unto the king and make known to him the interpretation. Thou, O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar. Then he preaches to him. One thing this king wasn't bargaining for, he wasn't bargaining for a message. And you know what? People, they always say, well, I had young men. I've had people call me up and say, can you help me out? I don't want you to tell me what I'm wrong. I don't want you to tell me what's going on in my life. I don't want you to tell me all that Bible stuff. Just help me out.
Yeah.
I'll give you a message first.
Amen.
Stop being stupid.
That's right, Bruce.
Thou, O king, the most high God gave Nebuchadnezzar thy father a kingdom and majesty and glory and honor. For all the majesty that he gave him, all people, nation, language, trembled and feared before him. And whom he would, he slew. And whom he would, he kept alive. And whom he would, he set up. And whom he would, he put down. But his heart was lifted up, his mind hardened in pride. He was disposed from his kingly throne and took his glory from him. And he was driven from the sons of men. His heart was made like unto a beast. His dwelling was with the wild asses, and they fed him with the grass like oxen. His body was wet with the dew of heaven till he knew. One day, you'll get... If you don't know God now, if you don't really know him, A lot of hardships going to come.
Amen. Yeah.
And you know what? It's easier to get to know God on your own.
Yeah.
It's so much easier. Instead of going through all kinds of heartache and hell on this earth to get to know God.
That's right.
Yeah. So while we get to know God, you still go through stuff. Yeah, but at least you'll have peace and comfort and joy in the middle of it.
Yeah, that's right. Amen.
And God going through it with you.
Right. Yeah.
But people are hard-headed. Just hard-headed. I'm hard-headed. I usually learn things the hard way.
Amen.
I don't know why that is. Wouldn't it be a blessing to learn from somebody else? Look at it. Look at that idiot. Look what he's doing. Man, I ain't going to do that.
Yeah.
But we go down the same stupid road.
Right, amen.
Yeah.
Right.
Lord.
Amen.
And he goes on, he says, his body was wet with the dew of heaven, till he knew that the Most High God ruleth in the kingdom of men, and that he appointeth over it whomsoever he will. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this.
That's right.
But hast lifted up thyself against the God, the Lord of heaven. You say, well, I'm just living the way I want to live. I'm just doing what I want. What you're doing is you're lifting yourself up against God.
Mm-hmm.
You're his child. You belong to him. You're lifting yourself up.
Amen.
You're putting you before him. And whenever you do, you always make a mess. God crashes his party, and look what he says. He says, and I wish I could have time to show you other parties, but we don't. But I lift up thyself against the Lord of heaven, have thought the vessels of the house before thee, and thou and thy lords and thy wives, thy concubines, have drunk wine in them. And thou hast praised the God of gold, silver, gold, brass, iron, wood, and stone, which see not, nor hear, nor know, and the God in whose hand thy breath is, whose are all thy ways, hast thou not glorified. Then was the part of the hand sent from him, and his writing was written. This is the writing that was written. Mena, Mena, Tekel, Upharsin. This is the interpretation of Mena. Thou hast numbered thy kingdom and finished it. Tekel, thou art weighed in the balance and have found wanting. He said, brother, that's where people get this, you know, salvation, weighed in the balance. If your good outweighs your bad and all that stuff, that's where they get it from, right there. But he said, you're weighed in the balance. Your pride, you're weighed in the balance. And the Bible says, Teka, thou art weighed in the balance and found wanting. Pezer, thy kingdom is divided given to the Medes and the Persians. Then commanded Belshazzar, they clothed Daniel with scarlet and put a chain of gold about his neck and made a proclamation concerning him that he would be the third ruler in the kingdom. And then that night was Belshazzar, the king of the Chaldeans, what? Slain. Darius the Median took the kingdom, being about 62 years old, the king. And if you read chapter 6, look here, let's read it. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom. Look, you got a new kingdom coming in. They kill the king. They kill all his subjects. They kill everybody. Daniel's standing there, third ruler in the kingdom. Got a gold around his neck. I mean, he's the third ruler. And this king comes in, he's going to kill all rulers. He sees Daniel. He says, I know about you. You're the man. You're the man. Look what happens. It pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was what?
First.
Everybody wants to be first. Everybody wants to be on top. You better go to God.
Amen.
God will promote you.
Amen.
Amen.
The Lord crashed this party. A whole lot of shaking went on. And man, all kinds of drink, and then all of a sudden the party crashed.
Right.
And then in the Bible you find Moses coming down out of the mountain, Joshua down there at the bottom, and they are halfway down, and Joshua says, there's war in the camp. Moses said, that ain't war, boy. That's people that turned away from God.
That's right.
You want to know why I don't go to parties? That's why any Christian should have no part of it?
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on. Yeah. Yeah.
Brother Ken got persecuted at work. They said, you coming to the party? They had a big party for all the brokers and everybody. And Ken said, I don't go. They said, why not? It's because they're drinking and swapping wives and all that stuff. Now, Ken got kind of blunt with them. Can't imagine that. He didn't go. Guess what? He gonna come out on top. You say, well, preacher, you just don't understand. You just don't know. Oh, I don't, huh? Oh, I don't. I know a lot more than you think I know. I made up my mind I was gonna put the Lord first. And you make up your mind. God, if you don't, God will crash your party, baby. Amen. And you'll be on your face, and you'll be crying. You won't have no peace. You won't have no comfort. You won't. Why? You didn't put him first.
That's right. Right. Yeah.
Oh, Belshazzar, he was dead that night before it was over. People always die. Women get raped. People get drunk. They cost lives. Children suffer. He was John the Baptist's stepdaughter. And John the Baptist getting his head cut off.
Right.
So, preacher, that's just to come to the Bible illustration. Oh, yeah. Yeah. Right. How many of y'all know what I'm talking about?
Amen.
Amen.
Yeah.
Preacher.
Amen.
Christians have no business but being at no parties.
That's right.
Amen. Right.
You have no business being around with a drinking, carrying on.
That's right.
Right.
You have no business being there.
Amen.
Why? You say, well, I'm just lonely. I just want to be around somebody. You cry on somebody else's shoulder. Amen.
Read your Bible.
Read your Bible. Amen. Fellowship with the Lord.
Amen.
Yeah.
You're teaching your family. You're teaching your kids. God crashed this party, and God crashed it. He wrote the handwriting on the wall. And boy, they never recovered. And you won't either. So many people end up going to parties now, end up in crashes. People die, end up getting shot, end up getting stabbed. Some woman loses her husband or loses their wife or somebody sleeping around and they got something to be ashamed of. I used to like to go to parties before I was saved. Why? When women get, they always say if a woman will smoke, then she'll drink.
That's right.
If she'll drink, she'll do anything.
That's right.
Ladies, you need to teach girls, don't go to no parties.
Amen.
You girls, you end up in college, don't go to no parties.
Amen.
So I'm just going to, you know what girls do? They'll say, well, you come with me so I won't drink so much. Or you come with me so nobody, you wash my back. No, you need to stay away.
Amen.
Right. Amen.
Amen.
Stay away from it.
Amen, preacher.
Amen.
It'll hurt you.
Right.
Destroy you. They don't have no good intentions for your life. Other than to use you and abuse you and throw you away like a piece of trash and then brag about what they did to you.
Amen.
Right. Yeah.
Amen.
So how do you know? It's what I want.
Right, preacher. Amen.
Stay away from it.
Amen.
Amen. That's not the message, but that's part of it.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Father, Amen. Thank you, God, for your mercy. Help our kids, these kids in this church, especially young teenage girls. God, everybody wants to have a party, and they want to do this, and they want to scare each other. I remember going to parties as a young man and as a kid and seeing all the junk go on, seeing all the hurt and people messing around. My Father, I pray, God, protect our kids and our family, our churches, folks, Lord, they love you. Stay away from that mess. And these parties coming up, these holidays have come up. People want to have a party. Everybody have drinking, carrying on. And they just said Donald Trump was bragging about roping women. Bill Clinton, all these other people, man, what a mess our country's in. What a mess. God, Christians shouldn't be around that mess. God, help us, Lord, to hate that stuff. My Father, help us to love you. And every time I've read my Bible about a party and drinking, carrying on, somebody dies. Somebody gets hurt. Somebody gets raped. David got Uriah the Hittite, had a little party for him, got him drunk, steal his wife, and then wrote a letter because he couldn't persuade him, wrote a letter to have him killed. God, help. Lord, help my brothers and sisters, Lord, as this time of Halloween, people promote Halloween now. Want to be afraid, want to get, have a little drink, carry on. Unclean spirits. My Father, help us as Christians. Daniel wasn't at the party. They had to have him come in because they were scared to death. And my Father, I pray, God, help us to be wise men. Help our wives, our children be wise, to stay away from that mess. Stay away from bars. Stay away from the places where people ruin their lives. Help us, oh God. Help my brothers to save that one nearest hell that's here today is not saved. Save them, oh God. Heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. How many in this room can say, preacher, I know I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. Amen. All over the room. Amen. What a blessing. As far as I know, I'm preaching to save people today. Just trying to give you a warning. Stay away from that mess. Stay away from you young girls. You think, man, you see all these things on TV, parties and that kind of stuff. You think, oh, I'd be so neat. They have no good intentions for you. Ruin your lives. God have mercy. How many say, preacher, God spoke to my heart this morning about some things. Amen. All over the room. Praise the Lord. Mine too. Mine too. Father, there'd be somebody here that's not saved again. Save them, oh God. Don't let them leave this building. If they couldn't raise their hand this morning, help them to come to me. Help them to just be concerned about their soul. Save that one. And we'll thank you and praise you. Bring us back tonight at the appointed hour. In Jesus' name, amen. Guys, be ready to preach tonight.